Hi, and welcome to the Cancer Horizons podcast. Each week, we talk with patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, or healthcare professionals and do what CURE does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. LeVara Burton knows the importance of storytelling quite well as an actor, director, and advocate for children's literacy. In an interview with CURE, he explained how he's using storytelling to connect with the MPN community and inspire others to share their stories. In this episode of the Cancer Horizons podcast, hear from Burton, who is most known for his roles on Reading Rainbow and Star Trek, as he shares his thoughts on the importance of advocacy for MPNs.
Why did you find it so important to use your storytelling skills to inspire people living with MPNs to prioritize their health and go to doctor's appointments they may have procrastinated on during the COVID-19 pandemic?
Storytelling is what I do. It's what I am. And when I was approached with an opportunity to give some voice and visibility to MPNs and their progressive nature and tie it to personal experience of my mom and seeing how, in her last months, not going to the doctor as often as she needed to, the impact that it had on her life. But then being in the middle of a situation where I knew I wasn't seeing my doctors with the regularity that I should have been, it felt like an opportunity that I couldn't pass up. It just made a lot of sense to me, and nothing more complicated than that.
So since you have taken on this role, you have met with several patients with MPNs to learn about the challenges they have faced. So what are some of the important points that you have learned from those encounters?
Well, I guess that my big takeaways from my conversations with people from the MPN community is the various levels of challenge that they experience based on the particular MPN that they have, and how in their interactions with other people, those symptoms can often mask so many other things or present as so many other things that the awareness for what an MPN is and how it impacts the patient, there's not a lot of awareness out there for that. And without the awareness, it's very difficult to have a dynamic of compassion present, right? So that's been, I think, my biggest takeaway, the biggest impact that my experience with these patients have had on me is that they basically suffer in silence without a lot of support. And we can do better than that, right? No one should have to suffer in silence and without a sense of support. We are designed as human beings to none of us get through this thing alone. We are herd animals, right? And to not have a herd to support you through something as potentially traumatic, devastating, frightening, mysterious as a rare chronic blood cancer, everybody needs somebody to understand what they're going through.
So earlier you mentioned your mother and the health challenges she faced as she aged and how she did not always stay on top of her health care. So can you go into a little bit more detail about that if you don't mind?
Yeah, I don't feel like I want to tell tales out of school on my mom. It just doesn't feel right. But suffice to say that she could have done better, right? And I understand the limitations that she feels that she was working with. And I her death is now a part of my living experience, my lived experience. And if I can derive some value and benefit from that, and I believe that I have in terms of just my awareness through this pandemic of how important it is for me to do a better job of taking care of myself, right? And I think that's the gift that Irma gave me, was the information through her example that I can and should and need to do a better job.
Definitely an important gift to be given.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, definitely. So let's jump back into MPN. So can you tell us why you got involved in the MPN space?
I'd never heard of MPNs. I couldn't even pronounce myeloproliferative neoplasm. at the beginning.
Now you're an expert at it.
And now it rolls trippingly off the tongue. I guess I've always been drawn to the underdog. That's just a part of my character, my nature. And you know, sufferers of MPNs, I mean, it's a big group of underdogs, right? So that's, you know, why I said yes. I saw an opportunity to help and perhaps make a difference. And I think we're, you know, we're having a bit of an impact. We're, you know, our plan is working out.
Amazing, right?
Yeah, right. It's working.
Woo. So obviously self-advocacy is a huge important factor in MPN. How do you think patients with MPNs and even their caregivers should advocate for themselves to put their health first?
We all need to advocate. You know, it's not just if you're, you know, suffering from a rare blood cancer, you know, we all need to advocate for ourselves and to do a better job. I think we can all, right, step up our game a little bit, just based on the reaction that I get from people who have been exposed to the campaign. For me, the most satisfying response has been from within the MPN community itself, that they feel that my presence in this conversation has made a difference in their lives about how they feel about their struggle, right? And that's worth a whole bunch to me.
So how do you think patients can reprioritize their health, especially during the COVID-19 pandemic, which has been our reality for the past year and a half, almost 2 years, where screenings and even doctor's visits may not have been top priority, especially when we had to quarantine?
Right. Well, the main point of the message is you have to go to know, right? And even in addition and on top of that, I think that because of the pandemic and because we've all sort of been lax and unable to get in to see doctors, we have really taught ourselves that there are some alternatives that can be an effective part of the process, right? As hospital space has been rare, you know, in some instances, and it's been not just inconvenient, but in fact impossible for patients who aren't dealing with COVID to get into a hospital space, having the ability to have Zoom calls and video calls with doctors and still get eyes on and still have the conversations that patients and caregivers need to have. I think that's been a real positive that we are working it out, you know, to the best of our ability. We have discovered other ways to get some things done. Some things have to be done in person, right? Blood work, you've got to go someplace or have someone come to you. But there are things that we have been able to do to mitigate the inability to have face-to-face meetings in doctor's offices and hospital settings.
All right, so I'm going to pivot the questions a little bit more towards your storytelling, which is a huge part of your life, let's say. So we have a section on our website and publication, which is called Share Your Story, where patients, their caregivers, and their family members can discuss their experiences, lessons learned, and other major takeaways. So since you have made a lifelong career of being a storyteller, why is it so important for these patients and caregivers to share their stories? And what tips would you give them when sharing their stories?
Well, let me tackle the first part, because I think I'm probably more qualified to speak about why than the how. We all want to be seen in life. It's part of the human condition. And telling our story, it is the right tool for the job in terms of communicating who we are, what's important to us, and how the events as they have unfolded in our lives have helped shape the people that we are. And that's a skill that's valuable in every aspect of our lives, most notably in terms of seeing a healthcare professional and being able to accurately, successfully give them your story, your medical story, so that they might be best equipped to help you take care of yourself, right? So storytelling is an absolutely innate part of being human. And there's a reason for that. So much information that is contained in stories. It's just so much about the experience of being human is contained and most successfully communicated via story.
That was incredibly powerful, I gotta say. All right, so one more thing I know you really love to do, obviously, is reading. And a lot of our readers of our publication and website have noted that they read a lot while undergoing cancer treatments. Do you have any books suggestions?
Oh my goodness gracious, books for spending time getting cancer treatments. My sister was a dialysis patient. And three times a week, you know, she went to dialysis and she was already an avid reader, but her reading habits were really shaped in her later years by her dialysis schedule. Nothing specific really to recommend. I'm a science fiction, speculative fiction fan. And when I'm reading for enjoyment, I gravitate to that genre. I have a podcast now where I read a short story in every episode. And, you know, a lot of people, reading isn't the best way to be exposed to story, which is why I consider audio books reading and podcasts. There's so much entertainment and informational value in the podcast universe. Here's how I feel. If you can't find something to read that moves you, that excites you, that, you know, gets, that fills you up, and if you can't find a podcast to address your passions, then you're not trying hard enough. We live in a miraculous age, in my estimation, in that we have access to so many stories and the value and benefit of them in an unprecedented manner. I mean, just look at all the selections on Netflix that are in different languages, right? We have never had, ever had this kind of access to global storytelling in the history of humanity, right? And I carry a library around on my laptop, on my iPad. Come on, don't get me started. If you can find something to, you know, enhance your life in the field of audio literature or picking up a book and taking a look, then I don't know what to do with you.
Well, LeVar, I couldn't agree more. And those were basically all the formal questions that I prepared, but I wanted to see if there was anything else you wanted to tell patients with FPNs, patients with cancers in general, their caregivers, families, anything you wanted to tell them before we finish up.
I want them to know that it is my fondest wish that you feel seen, right? That you do not, under any circumstance, feel like you are alone in this, because you aren't. And so I want you to know that we see you.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cancer Horizons podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cancer Horizons podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.